If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Mark Carmen continuing with you. Here till 1 a.m. And Nick D will be on board. Bears win 31-15. Just want to remind everybody, maybe remind myself, remind Rick Easter, who's doing an amazing job producing the program tonight, that Mitchell Trubisky had not thrown a touchdown pass before tonight. So 3 1/4, that would qualify as progress. We saw some progress. Granted, I could have thrown the first two of them. The 1 yard touchdown pass, the little flick shot. The 3 yarder was even easier. He threw it at about 3 miles an hour. But I could not have thrown the 36-yard touchdown pass into the corner of the end zone. That wasn't thrown perfectly, but it worked. And Taylor Gabriel made a great catch. 173 yards in the first half tonight for Mitch. And you were starting to get a little bit excited. 173 times 2, that would have been 346 yards. You would have felt like, all right, I'm not going to say made a huge turn, but this would have been a positive. But to finish with 231, less than 100 in the second half, that was disappointing on the other side. Now, another positive, David Montgomery, the running back, the rookie, Iowa State, 13 carries, 67 yards, 5 a shot, ran 1 for 25, a beautiful run for 25 yards, frozen at the line of scrimmage, plays going nowhere. He creates it out of nothing. That was great to see. And I got to like the fact that you had 9 guys catching passes tonight. Taylor Gabriel, 6 catches. Allen Robinson, 6 catches. Tariq Cohen, a couple of catches. Trey Burton, hello, a tight end, 4 catches. Anthony Miller caught a ball. David Montgomery caught 3. Javon Wims had a catch for a first down. Adam Shaheen, before he left, caught a ball. And Cordarrelle Patterson had a catch. So that was good. And then the defense. People were worried about Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Is he going to be healthy? Is the Bears secondary going to take a downturn? Clinton Dix was awesome tonight. Pick 6 was all over the field. Danny Trevathan was great. Kyle Fuller was great. Didn't notice a ton of Roquan Smith tonight, but that's a guy that you feel solid about. And Khalil Mack was all over the field. So there was a lot of good tonight. It was a plus night for the Bears. Could have been better. Could have finished the game off and not started to sweat in the fourth quarter, but bottom line, went on the road. It's a step in the right direction. 312-981-7200. We're going to hear from Matt Nagy coming up. We'll hear from Mitchell Trubisky, and we'll hear from you if you want to jump on in. 312-981-7200. Casey on the south side, thanks for being patient. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, I'd like to go back to that 2nd and 3 on the 6. I mean, I know Nagy's offense obviously isn't predicated on the run, but, it's at that point, it's 28-9. They're up 19 points.
Right.
It was one of our most cohesive drives. We have them on the ropes. It's time to put the dagger in and pound it in there. It's 2:36 left in the third. We call timeout. Okay, great. So now we decide we're going to throw. Do we go play action? No, we don't throw it to the pylon. We don't throw it to the corner. We try this little flatten route, which I know he was open if Mitch makes that throw. But, it's situational football. That could come bite us because, 19 points, you run the ball twice and kick a field goal, worst case scenario. And you're at 22 there. And then that kind of led to later on when we had 2 timeouts left. And for whatever reason, on that 4th and goal play that the Redskins had, we had 2 to burn, and we were not even remotely set. And I don't know if that taking that timeout resulted in Nagy not allowing Pagano to call timeout there, but we clearly were not set for that play. The defense was completely gassed there. I mean, it's 4th and goal. You have 2 to burn. In almost any game, that's like an automatic timeout. And lastly, if we have Jordan Howard in the game, are we running on that 2nd and 3? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right, Casey. Appreciate it. Look, the throw to the corner of the end zone that was ugly and got picked off, that Mitch is talking about after the game, saying he read it wrong and he wants to have that throwback. Look, nearly every team in the NFL would throw that pass at that point. So I don't think you can blame the Bears play calling on that. It's more the execution. So that to me just falls squarely on Trubisky. But you do make a good point. Look, hand it off twice. Worst case scenario, you don't get in. You kick a field goal. It's a 22-point game. Being conservative maybe makes sense there. I mean, I think that's a fair way to look at it. And when you consider your best offensive options right now, David Montgomery's right at the top of the list. Give that guy the football. You know, you don't have to overthink it. And sometimes the Bears do a lot of overthinking, it seems. I think they overthought the draft when they drafted Trubisky. It seems a lot of times, to me at least, that they're trying to prove they're the smartest people in the room. And that's just not necessary. And it comes back to bite you. And you could make the argument perhaps that it did right there. But that's not a hard throw. That's not a throw that a professional quarterback who's, whatever, in his third year should have a hard... That's a throw he should make, right? I mean, come on. And their game management as far as timeouts and whatnot, I've always just been confused by how they just don't really seem to get it. It's like they still need to hire somebody who understands clock math and just have that guy on the headset talking to Nagy and letting him know what to do depending on the point of the game. They have not been good at that. It's happening a bunch this year where they created a whole another opportunity. I believe it was in the Packers game where it should have been over at the end of the first half. Didn't happen. They left time on the clock, and Green Bay ended up, I think Aaron Rodgers was able to throw a Hail Mary that could have cost him. Didn't at the time, but it's still, they just don't manage the clock particularly well. And these are things that you got to have down. And if you don't, at some point, you know, it ends up coming back to bite you. Let's hear from the head coach, Matt Nagy, coming back here. Let's take a quick time out. We'll hear from the head coach. We're going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky as well. And a reminder, tonight it's a division battle on WGN-TV. The Sox are taking on the Tribe on the south side. You can watch out for the fireworks. White Sox and Indians, final homestand for the White Sox, tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. WGN 1217. Good morning with you till 1 o'clock tonight. Nick D coming on up here. Bears a winner 31-15. Let's hear from the head coach. Here is Matt Nagy after the game as the Bears improved to 2-1. We'll see how pleased or what Matt would like to see his Bears working on as they head into Minnesota.
Okay, so to start within the game, we ended up having a right knee injury with Hicks. Hopefully, he'll be okay. And then Taylor Gabriel's in the concussion protocol. Want to give credit to Cornelius Lucas for stepping up today, short notice with Bobby Massey's illness. And so, I thought our guys did well there. It was a great game by the defense in regards to getting turnovers and flipping the field, which was really good. I think there was 5 total turnovers. And then the offense there, second quarter, used the momentum from that. And then at the end, they were a little sloppy there with the red zone. But at the end, then the offense being able to get in 4-minute mode and churn up some first downs was good.
When did Bobby's illness come up?
Literally, probably within... making a decision was probably within a half hour to an hour, but it was late. It was right before the deal. It was quick notice. He came in when we got here. He came in and said he wasn't feeling good. So it was like, okay, I guess we got to figure something out.
Was it like flu?
No, it's. I think it's a small case of vertigo. So it's not really that good when you have a guy that has to be balanced for most of the game. And you're not feeling real good with that. So we'll see where that goes, but hopefully he's okay.
As injuries during the game go, Hicks, is there any preliminary thoughts on just what you've heard, that kind of thing?
I think preliminary, I don't have anything for sure, but I feel like he'll be okay. I don't have anything more than that right now.
Was that something he was dealing with before this game?
I think, you know, he's a pretty big dude, you know, so his knees, these guys, man, their knees can get messed up a little bit here or there and wear and tear, but it just, you know, was getting sore on him, and so we'll kind of see where it's at in the next couple of days.
What was it like kind of battling what was going on with Eddie? Deciding either some pregame or Eddie
Pinero. Yeah, I was going to say, we have three Eddies, son.
with the kicks,
yeah.
During the game, what he can handle, what he couldn't.
Yeah, it was going back and forth the last couple of days. We didn't really know. I mean, he did well warming up, so I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. I had a plan either way, but Tabes came in and said that he's kicking the ball pretty well, you know, and so he felt good. So that made my decision in regards to just say extra points, being able to kick an extra point, you feel good there. And then you got to kind of test it out. It would have been great to hit that longer field goal. I forget the distance of it, but it would have been great to hit that. But again, I give him credit for fighting through that and fighting through the pain. And you know, he did his job and then hit that big field goal at the end.
You talked about wanting to see Eddie respond after a miss. I mean, to respond after a miss and make that field goal late.
Sure.
While dealing with a knee injury, what is that?
Sure. That's big because, you know, in that position, it can be mental, especially when you're not hurt very much, you know, and kickers, you know, unless they have something nagging that's going on, they're not getting banged up every game like these other guys are, where they have body ailments that they got to take care of throughout the week. So when something comes up and like that, and you're in a little bit of pain, you got to fight through it. And again, I give credit to Tabes and Jamie Cole and Eddie for coming up with a solution and making it work today.
Patrick, for Mitch, what is your sense of the value of the second quarter of, you know, breaking out of that ground slump offensively and getting three in a row?
Yeah, it was nice. It felt like, okay, finally, you know, here we go. And it's all about confidence. And again, I'll take it to, you get a quick flip of the field, you get some momentum going with those turnovers, and then he made plays, you know, and made a heck of a throw down the sideline to Taylor Gabriel, who made a great catch, got both feet in. So I know it didn't feel like, I don't know what his exact numbers were, but it felt like his completion percentage was pretty high today. I didn't feel like there was a lot of incompletions, which sometimes can, you know, when you get completions, it moves the sticks and you're able to get first downs. And so I felt good about that. We know we have a lot of room to grow, but it was nice to have that big second quarter. We'll be better. We'll execute better and be better there in the red zone. But again, I'm actually really proud. I keep going back to that 4 minute at the end of the game was nice, because they know you're running the ball.
Matt, there were three throws in particular where receivers were pretty wide open, mm-hmm. relative to what you've had in the past. Was Mitch just seeing receivers that he hadn't been seeing before? Was the offense just producing?
What throws were they?
Two of the touchdown passes, and I think the one across the middle to Gabriel, I think. It just seemed like they were easy targets.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes they're easy. I mean, he's stepping up in the pocket, or when he's making, there's so many things that go into it. But I want to give credit to Mitch for, he had a really good week of practice. He was very, very mentally prepared. He's mentally strong. He understands that throughout this process, there's a lot of weight on his shoulders to do well. And I think that I like where he's at. We're slowly getting better. If you go back to week one, where we were, and then where we're getting better now, we know there's lots of room for improvement, but you know, we were able to put some points on the board and get a win.
So what did you like when you just put in third down?
Yeah, I think, what were we, 7-10? Third down, 70%. So I'll take that all day long. Again, credit to our coaches who put a lot of time and energy into trying to scheme plays in that area, and then the players executing it.
How about the play calling rhythm that you felt?
Yeah, I felt better today. It still doesn't feel, you know, it's still not where it needs to be, but I definitely felt better. We were able to get in a rhythm, and you know, we were getting first downs, and anytime you get first downs, now you can get to that next call on the play sheet, and it's not, I don't know how many three and outs we had today, but there was a few there in the towards the end. But I thought rhythm wise was probably our best in the three games.
It's a bit of a broken record, but what can you say about the defense kicking open the floodgates on the takeaways and the
ties? Yeah, it's really you know, impressive. How this is three straight games in a row now where they're coming up. Now, the difference today is turnovers, you know, and then a touchdown. So anytime you have five turnovers and you only turn the ball over one time, that's a plus four ratio. You're going to win a lot of football games that way. I don't care what the other stats are. You're going to win. And, you know, we were tested there at the end. They were tested. It was a little bit of a swing there when we didn't get the touchdown on offense and they went down and got one. That was a little bit of a swing, but our guys, they hung tough and they got that fumble there on fourth down and made a crucial stop and stop. And then we went down in 4 minutes.
Coach, can you talk about what Paha has brought to this team since being assigned?
What he's brought to us?
Yeah, well, he
has that veteran leadership. He came in here, Paha came in here, understanding what this culture was all about. We're really, you know, I believe pretty unique with the culture that we have going on. And he came in and was looking to fit in, and he did that. And so he's come in, he's worked hard every single day. He's become a leader, and you just heard him break it down in there and talk about family. And anytime that's the case and then you're making plays on the field, that's exactly why he's here for that. So it's a good story.
There you go, Matt Nagy after the ball game. Isn't it kind of weird just to have? How was Haha? It just flows like it did. It shouldn't be somebody's name, right? Haha, who names their kid Haha? But Haha was amazing. Haha was great. Haha made Bears fans laugh tonight with his abilities to be able to get a pick six and put things on the board. That may be the worst thing I've ever said on the radio. All right. There was a couple highlights there from the Matt Nagy experience. One that I really agreed with, the Redskins absolutely knew the Bears were going to run the football the last couple, 4 or 5 minutes of the game, and they couldn't stop them. Despite the fact the Bears' offensive line is still sort of coming together and you didn't have Bobby Massey, who Nagy called that a small case of vertigo. I don't know if there's such thing as a small case of vertigo. If I had vertigo, I think I would consider that a big case. But the fact that you knew, the Redskins knew, they were going to keep it on the ground, couldn't stop them, that is a good sign. I like that point. And he was very, very honest about, you know, this is good, and yeah, we have a lot to get better at. I mean, he was not shy about that at all. One stat he did get wrong, he said they were 7 for 10 on third downs. They were actually 8 for 13. Either way, that's phenomenal. 8 for 13 on third down efficiency, that will win you a lot of football games. As well, as he mentioned, you have a plus 4 in the turnover margin. 5 turnovers, you only gave it up once. You're going to win a lot of games. And the Bears won one tonight. 31-15, 2-1, coming home to play Minnesota. It is a short week when you play Monday Night Football. They got the 3:25 kickoff at Soldiers with the Vikings. Division very tough. Huge game. Every division game is, and a home game as well. So let's hear from the quarterback coming up after the 12:30 news. Quick timeout. We'll get you a news update, and then we'll hear from Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, no timeout. We don't need a timeout. My bad. Let's see. Geez, you did tell me that a little bit ago, which gives me a second to actually talk about Mitch, which I'm interested to see what he says here, and I know he's going to be positive about taking a step forward, and he should be. 25 of 31, 231 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the 1 bad interception. If you told me that for the rest of the way in every single game, Mitchell Trubisky will only have 1 bad interception, sign me up. I'm in. 1 bad one? Great. I expect him to be more up and down than that. So I know we were harping on it, and it was an ugly throw, and you can't have it, and it was an ugly moment in the game. But I just think you got to live with the fact that this dude is going to, even throughout a game, can look great for a quarter, and then all of a sudden it's going to go the other way. 3-1 ratio? Come on. That is a win. And I don't care if they were nothing touchdowns the first two that Curtis Koch, who was cutting the Bears down, that I probably could have made those throws. At least he did it. And I think it was Mark Potash who was asking Matt Nagy about that. Well, you know, those throws were pretty easy. Yeah, they were, but Nagy didn't want to take that away from Mitch. And I was thinking the same thing, but at the end of the day, look, man, you don't get extra points for degree of difficulty. You do get extra, this guy's really, really good at the position, but I'm giving up any real hope that this guy's ever going to be elite. Just do the basics, man. Master the basics. If he can do that, and the Bears can get a little bit more creative with their play calling, and it was interesting, too, that Nagy was talking about, hey, you know, our play calling, our rhythm was better, but we still have a ways to go on that as well. I thought he named that honestly, too. So that's telling you that the coach is actually realizing that he needs to get better. It's a reminder, too, this guy, Matt Nagy, is young. He's in his second year as a head coach, never been a head coach before. The dude is still learning, similar to his quarterback. All right, we'll hear from Trubisky coming up here after the 12:30 news, which is coming up in a matter of moments here. Bears win 31-15. Let's find out everything else that is going on at 12:30 with your WGN News. Here's Vic Vaughn. You know, I really appreciate Vic Vaughn. Man, this is just a legend in there. Vic, I got to take a beef with you.
No, please continue with what you were saying originally.
Well, no, you're amazing. You're incredible. You're
yes.
Phenomenal. You're professional. You're eloquent. You're all of it. Please stop mentioning like where the Cubs are in their chase for the playoffs that is over and dead and gone. And
you know, I consulted with a guy in your sports department to make sure I should even mention it.
He
thought it's worth mentioning.
Who said that?
I don't want to throw him under the bus.
Well, who was it?
Should I literally stop saying it? Is it? I don't want to like.
No, just let
pick
it go.
A wound.
No,
okay.
Let it go.
Okay.
Let it go. It's over. It's dead. It's gone. They've lost six in a row. They have a 2.1% chance of making the playoffs. The Brewers have a 98% chance. It's
yeah,
the Cardinals won again tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals, before we get to Mitchell Trubisky, just to name what's happened here, they won 4 one-run games against the Cubs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They effectively knocked the Cubs out of the division, won the division, knocked the Cubs out of the playoffs, and they got Joe Maddon fired.
No.
That's what the Cardinals did this weekend.
I don't think there's any question anymore about who's our rival. It's definitely the Cardinals. Not the Brewers, yeah, but more the Cardinals.
Yeah, and Rick Uecker's telling me yes, that's all true. And, you know, Chris Bryant's done for the year. Well, I don't know if he's done for the year, but he sprained his ankle. He had that happen. It's rough times, man.
Okay, I took it all out of my script, so you know.
Okay, great. Cubs will, this is what you should say. The Cubs will play out the slate, starting with the Pirates tomorrow night. As the countdown is on to whether or not when Theo Epstein will move along and fire Joe Maddon or not renew Joe Maddon, whatever they're going to do. It's going to be a long off season. And as Gies is telling me, maybe put their cleats on their neck as OB was encouraging the Bears to do tonight, taking out those Redskins 31-15. So let's get back to that. Let's hear from the quarterback. What do you have to say after the game? Mitchell Trubisky didn't have a touchdown coming in. Threw three of them tonight. That is progress. Here is Mitchell Trubisky after the game.
This is an interesting room. Don't got no chairs for you guys. That's tough.
What for you is the value of the second quarter if you have to get that offense?
Yeah, it was big for our offense just to get going tonight. Defense did a great job creating turnovers and getting the ball for us. And then I think we're just better in situational football. Scoring before half is always big. We were better on third down. And I think that just belief and just executing on offense is what allowed us to go down and score. So we just got to keep growing, keep getting better, and keep doing that.
On the first touchdown pass to Taylor, the short one, when did you see him and take us through the plays out a little bit just to win?
Yeah, it was just a great man beater down there. We slid the protection, and he basically had a dropping DN cover him. So I was going to run it in, but I wanted to throw it to him and get him a touchdown catch.
Mitch, how quickly did you kind of feel like you established a rhythm on offense, especially in that second quarter?
Yeah, I don't know when it happened, but we definitely felt like we established a rhythm. Just felt like the tempo helped us out a little bit. And it was just great job by the guys getting in and out of the huddle. O-line did a great job protecting, creating holes in the run game, and just keeping them off balance. Just being better on first and second down to create manageable third down situations, and then converting on third down I think was huge for us.
When you get results in in a game like this, what does that tell you about where the process is in terms of building this offense?
Yeah, we just got to stick to the process, you know, keep believing and what we're doing. We had a couple weeks where we struggled, but we were a little bit better tonight. It was just guys sticking to the plan, coming together, and just doing what we do best. And the O-line did a great job, and playmakers made plays on the outside. So if everyone just continues to stick together and execute our plays and believe and just go out there and make plays, it'll be a fun offense.
How specifically does the tempo help you?
What?
How specifically does the tempo help you?
I think it just helps create a rhythm. It helps the defense. It helps us see the defense. It makes them get lined up faster, so they don't know if we're checking or if we're running and going right away. So it kind of helps me see what they're doing. It makes them get lined up and kind of show their hand sometimes, but a couple times they don't. So
is Nagy using all the time he has when you're in the line early like that? Because that could be another advantage of that, right?
I think that's a scheme question, technically. So we're just trying to keep the defense off balance. And sometimes when you're stalling out on offense and not having success, when we did the first 2 weeks, you guys just got to change it up a little bit and do something different to throw out for the defense. And I think we just kept it a little more simple for our guys. Instead of a lot of formations and personnel, kind of cut it down and just played simple football, block them up front, which our O-line did a great job, and let our playmakers make plays on the outside.
Mitch, when the defense scores like that, obviously good for you guys, but does that just add to the urgency, especially at that point where you'd been struggling to score touchdowns and
Yeah, it was awesome. I think it just created momentum for the whole team. So we don't think if the defense scores, oh, we got to go down and score again. We just got like, all right, let's do our job. Let's go out there, back up the defense. They're doing their thing. They're doing a great job, and we know they're going to create turnovers, make big plays, and get us on the field. But we still got to go out there and do our job. So we got to go down there, score, and have their backs. And I think that allowed them to get even more excited to do their job because they saw us kind of doing our thing on offense tonight.
In that stretch, you had some open receivers, and obviously you hit them. But do you feel like that was kind of a breakthrough for the offense, or just it happened against the team you're in, the defense you're playing? You know, was it a breakthrough, I guess, to run the offense like you did in the second quarter?
I mean, it's hard to define, but I think we're still improving as an offense, and it's definitely awesome when you have your guys getting open. I mean, that's how you design it. That's why you practice. That's why you rep the plays in the games. And we have the playmakers to where if we get man-to-man, we're going to let them separate, do it on their own. And when we're a zone, they gotta see that just like I'm seeing it and find the open area. So I think we're still growing and evolving as an offense. I don't know if I'd call it a breakthrough yet. We got to keep getting better, keep growing. Definitely room for improvement, and definitely in the second half, especially on my part. So I think if we just stick to the process and keep growing and keep learning and sticking together, we're going
to
be all right.
Touchdown pass to Taylor. What did you see on that play, and what did you make it kind of loose when you
Yeah, it was good. It was a great job by the O-line, just giving me time and allowing me to move a little bit and scramble, I think, a little bit. We had a double move called up, and it wasn't the perfect look that we got for it, but I think me creating a little time in the O-line, giving me a little pocket, I just felt like I'd try to put it in a spot where Taylor can make a play. And he did a great job getting his 2 feet down before half, and that's huge to score in those situations there before halftime.
Mitch, how did some of the movement behind the line of scrimmage help you today?
Like play action?
Yeah, all of that. You know, even the touchdown to Gabriel where the action goes out the right side and you're coming back to the left.
Yep.
A couple times you have.
Yeah, it's good. I think it takes some pressure at the O-line. They're just not straight rushing every time. You're moving the pocket, creating different launch points. And I think, obviously, that's a strength of mine, throwing it on the run and just making them, keep them off balance so they can't shoot gaps on us and make them cover the whole field side to side and keep the defense off balance.
What was working for you guys on third down tonight?
Third down, I think just great studying throughout the week and guys making plays. The O-line did a great job up front, and then guys knowing when it was man, when it was zone, and how to get open. And then just me getting the ball to the playmakers. But the O-line did a great job giving me time, and they did a great job getting open and knowing the situation. I think that was a focus for us this week, that we got to be better on third down. When we stay on the field, then we could be that dangerous offense we want to be in finishing the end zone.
What kind of accomplishment is it to get points out of that four-minute drive late in the game?
It was huge. Obviously, we stress as an offense that we want to stay on the field and win the game, so you'd love to convert that third down and go down and finish the ball and take a knee, but it was great. We felt like we did our jobs. The O-line did a great job in a known running situation to creating holes, and David did a great job running patient and making some big runs and getting points out of that. Obviously, you want to finish on the field, but we're going to keep growing, and I think that's something we could definitely roll over and feel good about for going into next week.
What happened on the interception?
Yeah, I think it was just a little predetermined on my part. We had a good play going on to the main side, and then I had a one-on-one option with A-Rob, and obviously you get a little excited when you get A-Rob pressed one-on-one into a fade. But the dude made a good play, and I was thinking back shoulder. He beat him over the top, kind of miscommunication and predetermined. So I would like to have that one back.
You've had some really nice escapes in your career, some really nice throws. That third touchdown to Taylor, do you get a sense in the moment how special a play like that is and how it shows really your full skill set?
Yeah, I don't really remember the full thing, except I just bought a little time and then threw it to Taylor, so I'll have to go back and watch it to see if it was actually cool or not. But it felt pretty good on the field, and I'm just glad it was actually called a touchdown, because from my point of view, it looked like he did get in, but then they didn't call it, so you're like, oh, dang, that was sweet, but I guess it didn't count. But then they turned it over, and it felt pretty good.
Mitch, specifically from an accuracy standpoint, what was different between the first quarter and the second quarter?
Was I less accurate in second quarter or more accurate?
It seemed like you improved from the first quarter to the second quarter.
I think just keeping a calm, steady mind and going out there doing my job and guys getting open. It makes it easier on me when the O-line's doing a great job and giving me time in the pocket. And I feel like I was just seeing the field tonight. And I just went out there with a calm mind and taking a one play at a time mentality. And the guys were getting open, and I felt like I was just putting it in the spot where they can make plays.
Thanks,
guys.
All right, so that was Mitchell Trubisky. So, I don't want to be overly critical of our young quarterback in his third year, but when you listen to him, does super intelligent ever come to mind? Because that's not where I go. He's just blurting things out and trying to get through the question and moving it through is just so uncomfortable. And it's kind of like how he plays quarterback. He doesn't seem relaxed back there. It's like he's trying to process everything that's going on, and the world's moving too fast for him. And I just don't know if it's ever going to slow down. You ask him a question, and then the next one. Adam Hoge asked him, what was the difference between the first quarter and the second quarter? In the second quarter, you threw three touchdown passes. You had the one right before halftime. You talked about it. You were asked about it. What was the difference between the first and the second quarter? Trubisky responds to him, was I better in the first or was I better in the second? You have no ability to sort of break down what just happened? That's odd to me. I mean, I've interviewed, without puffing out the chest here, but I've interviewed a lot of elite athletes. And I'll talk to LeBron James, for instance, who sticks out to me after a basketball game. And you'll ask him about a play, and he'll be able to recall where everybody was at on the court, what he was thinking about. And I look at him like, oh my God, you're a basketball savant. You see things that nobody else sees. This is part of the reason why you're so amazing at what you do. It's not just that you're incredibly gifted athletically. You're also super, super smart. When I listen to Mitchell Trubisky, I wonder how he got through algebra. And if you're a quarterback, you got to have that. There's a lot going on. I don't think I personally have the brain power to do it. I don't think I could handle it. You got Z wide 5964 2 Z 3, and you got to see 7 different things. You got 300 pounds people coming at you. I'm not even talking about like the actual talent of doing it. I understand that I can't do that, but to actually understand what you got to do, that's a heavy lift. These guys are very intelligent. You listen to Tom Brady or pick any quarterback who's successful, they're very smart. He just does not come across that way for me. I don't know if you agree or disagree, 312-981-7200. But I do think that's part of what's going on right now. Because he does have the arm strength. He is fast.
He certainly works at it. I don't think there's anything else going on in Mitchell Trubisky's life other than playing quarterback for the Bears. You're not going to see him running around. You never hear a word of him out at a club or this or that. And there's no stories anywhere. And I think that's great. Be the best you can possibly be. But I do think when you just, I don't know. I just think there's something missing, and that's part of the reason why he hasn't improved more than we would hope that he would have improved by this point. Let's take a quick timeout, 720 WGN. WGN. Mark Harmon with you till the top of the hour, and we'll have Nick D coming up. 312-981-7200. Enough from the text line. You have reached a new low criticizing how he answers questions in his press conference. Give me a break. Some people aren't so great like you. Get over yourself. I don't really think that I was out of line there at all, sir. And did I talk about myself being so great? I think I said that I'm pretty certain that I said there's no way I could do what a NFL quarterback, a college quarterback, I'll go down to a high school quarterback. I don't think I can handle it at any of those levels. I think all these guys are super smart, sir. And don't worry, Mitchell Trubisky's tough enough to handle any comments by me or anybody else on the radio. Check out his Instagram. Guy put up a picture this week of himself in sunglasses, and he got torched. Dude just put up a picture of himself. People are screaming at him nonstop. He went out today, 25 of 31, 3 touchdowns. He's got some thick skin. Good for Mitch. Let's get Dan in Rockford on 720 WGN. What's up, Dan?
Hey, I agree with what you're saying. I think that he's overwhelmed by the playbook, maybe by the language, maybe just by the entire being a quarterback to the Chicago Bears. I mean, look, one half of a good football game and people are coming out of the woodwork like, hey, oh, this is it. He's fixed himself. I'm like, that's not how things work. I'm like, this doesn't negate last year's playoff game. This doesn't negate the Packers game. This doesn't negate last week's game. I'm like, look, you have to show sustained success. And even in the second half of this football game, he still continued to struggle. I mean, when commentators are on the air saying, you know, they kind of simplified the offense and it's just about a quick read. I'm like, look, that stuff works great. It does. And he did it, and he did a good job at it. I'm like, but you, ultimately, you have to be able to sit in the pocket, survey the field, and find the open man. You can't lock on one receiver. Even if it's a different receiver in different games, you can't lock down on one guy during the game. You have to be able to be like, okay, Robinson's not open, I'm going to Gabriel. If Gabriel's not open, I'm going to Burton. You have to be more creative. And part of it goes on his coaching. You know, the Tariq out to the side is getting, you know, people have figured that out. Every team that plays the Bears has figured that out. It's a mess. And I just don't, as a fan, don't feel like they're going to get it together.
All right, I don't. I got you, Dan. I appreciate it. Listen, from my standpoint, anything's possible. He doesn't need to be great. Their defense is preposterous. They can, if they had scored 17 points, they would have beaten the Eagles last year in the playoffs, and who knows what would have happened. The one game they lost this year to the Packers, if they had scored 11 points, they would have won. I don't want to make it that simple, but that numbers wise, those are the facts. Can they get to 11? I think they can get to 11. People texting in on Trubisky, 312-981-7200. Trubisky always sounds like he's drinking a lot of Red Bull. I can't stomach listening to that pace either, Mark. That's a good point. Maybe he's just firing down Red Bulls. He wakes up and has a Red Bull. Maybe he goes Red Bull at 8, then another one at 10. But I just think that's him. He's probably, you know, he's the kid that when your parents take you to the grocery store, he's probably running up and down the aisles going absolutely bananas, jumping in the cart, jumping out of the cart. I can relate to that on some level.
Maybe he's the kid that's, you know, you're worried when you're standing there at the train tracks, he's going to run out there and just see if he can get across and come on back. Mark, he's a few cans short of a six-pack. You can't play football with a brain like that. Yeah. And it does feel like a little bit off just to like go at someone's intelligence. But it's all fair game, man. When you're making millions of dollars and you're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, you're trying to figure out what's going on here. Because again, he should be just you just would think that he'd be figuring it out by now. And there's just been a lot of really weird moments with him at the microphone where they ask him questions and it's like he's gotten direction from the organization on what to say. And then he doesn't quite understand like when he's supposed to say it, and it all gets kind of jumbled up, and you're kind of looking at him like, huh? What are you talking about? But I got again, this Instagram post, I was talking about this yesterday. I find it, the dude just puts a picture of himself up. It's on Instagram. Like, you know, it's kind of harmless, and he's just getting all these people writing it. Please play good. Next one, hey, I believe you knew Mitch. We didn't draft you second for no reason. But then the next one, we could add Mahomes. After that one, looking forward to you figuring out how to play quarterback. Just one after another. It's like, man, the dude just put up a picture on his Insta. Can't he live a dream? Can't he just, you know, enjoy his life and get away from it? But that's the thing. It is, it's in your face all day long, and you got to be able to handle it, which is a huge thing about being successful at this level. Can you handle the grind of being out there and the microscope that he's under? Can Obi and Hampton talk about anyone else but Mahomes? Get over it already. The Bears are what they are. Sir, Obi and Hamp also talk about Deshaun Watson. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. They will mention Watson as well. Watson was taken 12th. Mahomes went 10th. And they'll mention some other quarterbacks as well. Like today, they mentioned Gardner Minshew, the 6th-round draft pick, who apparently the Bears liked. Met with him, thought he was super smart, and they're not surprised that he's having this success down in Jacksonville. I mean, Matt Nagy said, maybe Trubisky gets it from Nagy. Matt Nagy said that we're not surprised that Gardner's doing this well. If you're not surprised that Gardner's doing this well, then why wouldn't you draft the guy? He went in the 6th round. If you thought he was capable of being an NFL quarterback and you're sitting there with picks in the 5th round or in the 4th round and the 6th round, why wouldn't you take him yourself if you liked him so much, right? Does that make sense? Man, Gardner Minshew, by the way, would own the city. He's walking around with his shirt unbuttoned. He's wearing a mustache. He would be Jim McMahon 2019. That would be incredible. And then we could have found something for Mitchell Trubisky to do. All right. Thank you to Rick Geezer for producing tonight, staying an extra hour. Geezer, I always appreciate it. You know this. Thanks to Hamp and OB and everybody who called, texted, listened tonight. We really appreciate it. Be back with you next Sunday at 6:30. Nick D is coming up next.